pancakes for her sons, Kevin 5 and Ryan, he was 3. And the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Isn't that true? We always want somebody else to be Jesus for us. A couple of statements. Jesus, he goes into the garden to be obedient to the Father, undoing Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden. Adam and Eve hides behind a tree, naked, covered in shame. Jesus hangs on a tree naked and conquers shame. Adam and Eve begin in paradise but are forced outside the gates due to the curse. Jesus dies outside the gates but ends up in paradise due to the cross. And Adam and Eve's sin ushered a curse of thorns. Jesus wore the crown of thorns. He ushered in salvation from sin. And you know, I really want to encourage you, if you're here, if you're in this house today, when you come to know Jesus Christ, he destroys all of your guilt and shame. He takes it all and he removes all of your condemnation. That's what he does. You no longer hold your head down, but you hold your head high because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, not based on our works. Amen? No one boasts. We only give glory to the King. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, that means you're probably saved. Although maybe your mom or your girl. Oh, you know what, Brent? Can I have my teaching there, please? Thanks. That's your worship list? What did I do in my teaching? I must have left it on my desk. Did I? Hun, could you go grab that for me? We'll turn over to Matthew. While she's going, my Vanna White is going to retrieve. Oh, never mind, Brent, it's here. Look at that. I just had too many papers today. Yeah, but you just look so good doing it, baby. I'm just excited about being in the house of God today, you know? I'm excited that you're here. I've got my friend Dave over here who I met down the street from us. His first time here. I got to chat with him before. We're so glad you're here, Dave. He lost his brother a little while ago when him and his brother were really close. My daughter and her son, they live down, or my son-in-law, I mean, they live right down the street from old Pete, and old Pete passed away, and then I got to meet his brother Dave. And you know, God's got a plan and a purpose, Dave, for every day of our lives, and he is so glad you're here. He's more happy you're here than I am, all right? But we just want you to know, Dave, you're loved and you're not alone. And so, I didn't know Dave was coming today. He just showed up and surprised me. And I'm so glad I got to meet Jason over here his first time, right, Jason? Went to school with his uncle over in Coxsackie. Look, if you're new here, we just want to say welcome to the family of God. If you're here for the first time, it is not a coincidence. It doesn't matter who asked you. You know it was the Holy Spirit that's been egging you on, all right? It's the one that wanted you here today because his desire is for you. God desires you this morning, and he wants you to know him as your Lord and Savior, because then freedom comes not only into your life, but you become the catalyst for the rest of your family. Amen? Just tell your neighbor, say, "My family's all coming in." Right, they're all coming into the kingdom. This isn't about being saved into a church. This is about being saved into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is going to overwhelm this earth. Amen? All through the body of Christ. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read a very familiar passage because I like it. And it's in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. And again, because I don't believe there's anything more powerful on the planet than the word of God, because it destroys every yoke in your life. So if you'll follow along with me, it says, this is the NASB version. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. You know, I just can't get past verse 2 without thinking what caused that earthquake. Because Jesus now, it's all done, it's finished, he said on the cross. Amen? That angel is coming for, he's not coming to set Jesus free. He's coming just as a demonstration of power. He's coming because it's all finished. Darkness no longer having authority over the sons and daughters of God. It's already been accomplished. Now Jesus is just getting ready to walk out. It's already was accomplished completely on Calvary. Amen? Amen. He said, it is finished. Tell your neighbor, say, it is finished. Listen, all the lies that you've been believing, it is finished. All the lies that everybody spoke over you, they die today. Because Jesus said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Or the word says that, amen? You are fearfully and wonderfully made in his own image. So when he hung on that old rugged cross, and when he laid his head down, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, at that moment, everything that needed to be accomplished was completed. And now here we see in the scriptures, they're giving us a breakdown of how it happened. And behold, a severe earthquake happened. I believe when that angel hit the earth to roll away the stone, he hit with such force and power. He said, we're all done. Satan no longer has dominion over the sons and daughters of God, everyone that believes. And when he came down to roll away, now this is just my version. What's that? The Marvel version. That's right. This is the Marvel version, all right? But when that angel hit the earth, he hit with such authority because there was no more hiding what God had accomplished. Everything, the devil didn't know what was coming. He's an idiot. Can we all agree on that? He's an idiot. He lured us into, whether it was drinking or drugs or all the sexual perversities that are out there, he led all of us astray at one time or another. That's how stupid he is. He leads us into darkness. That's somebody. Listen, if somebody's leading you into darkness, they're an idiot. Who wants to go into a room where you can't see nothing? Not me. Listen, I remember I was telling Deirdre years ago when we first started renting the church, and it wasn't all bright and shiny. It was pews, and it was just dark. The carpets were all ripped and everything, and it was just it just had a weird feeling about it. It can be a weird feeling sometimes in church, just telling you. Maybe you're a first-time visitor, and it's a little bit weird for you this morning, all right? But it was dark. I was shutting off the lights. When you shut them off over there, everything goes black, and it was pitch black outside. And I came walking across the back, and I'm like, I just got to get out of here. And all of a sudden, the thunder hit, the lightning flashed, and I'm walking, and there was a big fan in the middle of the walkway back there, and it hit me right in the gut. And I'm walking, I'm like, I got to, boom, here, and I didn't know what it was. I thought somebody punched me in the gut. I'm walking, the thunder, the lightning, and I was all weirded out. But I want you to, and you know, these are crazy things that happen to us. And fear tries to come on us. You know what? And that's what darkness does. It brings shame. It brings guilt. It brings fear. It brings all of those things. So if someone wants to lead you into darkness, just walk away and say, not today. Not today. I've got to walk in the light as he is the light. For greater is he that is in me than what? He that's in the world. That's right. See, Jesus came to set us free. The power of God is being manifested on the earth to set the captives free. And that's each and every one of us. So I believe that when that angel hit, man, everything started to change. And all he did was move that stone. And he prepared for the Lord to come out. And it says, and as his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow, the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. Why? Come on, church, why?
He is risen.
And what's the next 3-4 words say? Just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. "Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests and all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.'" And I just tell you, if your friends are telling you, "Hey, I know you were out with us, but tell your wife this." Teenagers, if they say, "Hey, tell your parents this," tell them, "No thanks, I'll just tell them the truth." All right? These soldiers knew what the truth was, but they knew that if they told the truth, they were going to die. They told the truth, and the Pharisees said, "We know that if we tell the truth, we're going to turn this whole world upside down. We're going to help him out, and we don't want to help out Jesus." So they made up and they concocted a lie. The enemy always tries to lie against the truth. He always does. He said, "You are to say his disciples came in the night and stole him away while he was asleep. And if there should come to the governor's ear, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and they did as they had been instructed. And his story was widely spread among the Jews as it is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, and as we go back to verse 6, he said, "He is not there, for he has risen." Why? Just because he said he was going to. That was the plan all along, right? And we know just as he said is good for me. He said, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be what? Saved. And it's just as he said. Nothing changes that. Just as he said. He said, look, I believe it was 3 times in all the Gospels, Jesus already told his disciples, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to be sacrificed. They're going to kill me. But don't worry, in 3 days, I'm coming back. He tells them not once, not twice, 3 times. And then in John, we hear a couple other ones where he's preparing them also. And one he was quite clear with in Mark 8:31 and 32. He said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. I like it when Jesus does that. Because a lot of the parables we get confused on. A lot of the different things, the way that Jesus spoke back then, the disciples had no idea what he was talking about. But this one, he was stating very plain. And then Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Isn't that what we do? God says things quite plain, and then we argue with God. God was very clear. Jesus was very clear. He said, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise on the third day. And then later on, as we read, it says, but some doubted. And you know, that word doubted, it really means some hesitated. Some hesitated because they had been with Jesus. After Jesus rose, they saw him and they couldn't figure out how. Some hesitated believing everything that he had promised was coming to pass. And you know what? I believe that there's some in here that you've been hesitating. I believe that there's some that are here this morning. You believe that there is a God. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you've hesitated stepping in and believing all that God promised. Look at it. You're in good company because his disciples hesitated. You're in good company because every single one of us in here have hesitated at one time or another. Amen? All the promises of God are what? Yea and amen. To who? To them that believe and are called according to what? His purpose. That's right. All of them that believe. So each one of us has hesitated at different times in our lives to believe that God is that good. To believe that God is that wonderful, that merciful, that powerful, that glorious, that he said, no matter how bad you were, I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to make it so that you have never sinned in your life. I'm going to make it so that when you stand before me, you are washed, you are made whole, you are my child, you are my son, my daughter, and there's nothing between you and me. That's what I'm going to do through the power of the blood of my son. And yet so many hesitate. So many hesitate. And they say, Lord, I don't know if you're that good. I don't know if I can trust you with everything. I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you with my kids. How many people hang on to their kids, try to control and manipulate everything in their lives to protect them from everything? Doesn't happen that way, does it? Doesn't happen. The things that are dear to us, we try to hold close and we try to make sure that they're well taken care of. I want you to know, God feels the same way about you. God wants to hold you close and make sure that you're well taken care of. He said, if you ask for a stone or if you ask for a bread, will he give you a stone? That's not what God does. God takes very good care of his kids. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been hesitating to believe with all of your heart. Maybe you've been hesitating to step out. Maybe you've got a gift to sing. If you don't have a gift, please don't sign up, okay? I just want to be clear. I want to save my wife having to tell you I'm sorry. All right? My job is to carry the burden, right? But if you believe you have a gift to sing, than to stop up and say, you know what? I'm not going to hesitate any longer. I've got something that will glorify God. I've got a talent that God has given me that I've honed, but I've got a gift. A lot of people are walking within their gift, but not their calling. Can we agree? People use the gift that they have, whether it's to become famous or make money or whatever the issue is. A lot of people use their gifts and talents to do things that benefit them, but not the body. I want to encourage you, if that's you today, don't hesitate today. Don't hesitate from here on out. Jesus came to set you free. He said, I want everyone to see the expression of my love through you. That's what he wants. This is not about you. This is not about me. This is about us expressing God and the freedom that we have in our King through the gifts and the talents that he has given us. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, don't hesitate. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is not a day to hesitate. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings, amen? You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. You have no idea what happens the rest of today. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But I know that when I walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I know what my eternity brings. I know what my God has prepared for me because he wrote it down in his word. And so this morning, I want to remind you, Jesus stated it very plainly. I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to have to suffer. But don't worry. In 3 days, everything changes on this planet. Everything on this planet is altogether made new. And that's what happens to your life. Individually, to your marriage in Christ, to your children, when you start walking in righteousness, that's what happens to your extended family as they start to hear the words of life over time when you don't hesitate to believe the word of God. I'm telling you, if there's one thing you can be sure of is that God will always perform his word in your life. He is not a man that he should what? That's right. Can God change? Absolutely not. Is the same yesterday? Amen. His word is true. His word is true. He never goes outside of his word. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. See, because once again, we got to not hesitate to what the word of God said. The scripture says that on the third day, Jesus rose. Amen. And we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus isn't resurrected, then all of our faith is worthless. But if you believe that Jesus Christ, and God said, if you believe, you'll be saved. Amen. He said, if you'll agree with my word, you'll have what my word says. If you'll walk in my word, you'll see it manifested in your life, through your life, and everyone that you come in contact with. And we're starting to see that now in a greater way than we had last year. I believe that we've stepped into another season. I believe we've stepped into another season. No one has to guess or ask who you're in love with, because you have no problem talking about it. Amen? Or what you're in love with, whatever it is, anything on the planet, whatever you spend your time talking about, you're in love with. And I believe that as we start to fall more in love with the Father and we start to talk about him, then more people's lives are going to be changed. You know, I was over to the family, or the, what was it, Five Below yesterday. I was looking for a wiffle ball bat. You know how hard that is to find a wiffle ball bat these days? Walmart didn't have it. Five Below didn't have it. Family Dollar didn't have it. Dollar General. I was hunting everywhere. And something for my wife too, but that's on a side note. But none of them. And I called my wife. I said, Brent, where do you find a wiffle ball bat? She said, check CVS. I'm like, what? I mean, I know things have gone awry in America, but now you go to a drugstore to get a wiffle ball bat. And that's where I found it. Yeah. Yeah, you imagine? So I come out of Five Below. I'm standing in line at Five Below, and this guy, he's piling stuff on the counter. And I look at over $100 worth of stuff. Puts it on the counter. Now, you know it's a guy because he's doing it right on time. Right? A couple of hours before he's supposed to have it ready. So he piles it all on there, and I said, well, you're getting a jump on things, aren't you? And he was like, yeah, well, that's the way we do it. I said, I agree. Because listen, ladies, December 23rd, you shouldn't be in the stores. You've had 363 days to do your shopping. We get one night. When I go in the store, I always holler out, what are you women doing in this store? And they all look at me. I said, this is men's night. We get one night a year. Right? So the night before, the day before Easter, that's our time. I mean, before Resurrection Sunday, for those that spend all that stuff on there, he come in there and I said, so are you celebrating Resurrection Sunday? He said, yeah, I am. I said, oh, see, I didn't say Easter. So I knew he knew something. And I said, so where do you go to church? I said, oh, no, I said, so you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, yeah, I do. I said, really, you're a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, where do you go to church? Where are you going tomorrow? And he said, well, I haven't been to church. I said, why not? Well, you know, we still train our children in the ways of the Lord. I said, that's wonderful. But the Bible says that we're to come together and to encourage one another. That's why we're here tomorrow. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm encouraged by you. I'm encouraged. Look at your other neighbor. Say, I'm here to encourage you. Right. You see, that's what we do. We come to build each other up in the most holy faith, right? Training and equipping the saints for what? Work of the ministry, right? When we walk outside that door. So me and this gentleman, we're sitting there talking, and I said, okay, so you have kids? Yeah, I've got kids. Wonderful. I said, so listen, you need to get them. You need to bring them. He said, I've been there a couple of times. I said, where? He said, to your church. I said, you have? He said, yeah. He said, how old are you? I said, I'm 58. He said, are you kidding me? I said, yeah. Yeah. He said, you look good at 58. I said, you need to come to our church. I just want you to know. But you know, it was so simple talking to him about the Lord. And then I just encouraged him and I said, listen, I just want you to know your Father loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And then babies need to know the power of God and the manifestation of it from a faithful mom and a faithful dad who love the Lord and walk according to his purpose. He said, I'll stop back down and see you again. I said, tomorrow? He said, I don't know about tomorrow. I said, well, that's all right. I said, I'll be waiting. I'll be dusting off a seat for you. He said, all right. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. So I got to bless him in the name of the Lord. Can I just tell you, that's what happens. That's how easy it is. I mean, you see somebody buying that much stuff that they're going to throw in the garbage in a week. How easy a conversation is that, right? Why? Because I've done it before. One resurrection, I forget what it was. Maybe, I think it was. I forgot to get my wife some candy. Oh, it was Valentine's Day. I was on my way home from church to get her some candy. On Valentine's Day. It's a guy thing. What do you want me to tell you? All right. I was on my way home and I went in there and there was nothing on the shelves. Everything was empty. I mean, not even a stinking peep. For Valentine's Day. Oh, sorry, Valentine's Day. They don't have them at Valentine's Day. Okay, a heart. They had nothing. So I said, well, you know what? I got her some peanut M&Ms. A big bag of them. I brought them home to her and I said, baby, I just love you and I'm sorry and all this. She said, I don't even like them. I said, oh, I love these things. And yeah. So maybe I need to work on some of my issues, all right? But I want you to know that as we walk out our lives, as we walk it out, when we fall in love with him, God is preparing people's hearts right now outside this house. God's preparing their hearts and he's working hard at it. He's preparing them. He said the fields are what? White in the harvest, but the workers are what? Really what he's saying is those that are madly in love with me are few. That's what he's saying. Because when you fall in love with him, it's easy to talk about him. When I fell in love with my wife, it was easy to talk about her. It was very easy, and it still is, because I'm still in love with my wife after 34 and a half years. And you know what? When we walk in love with the Lord, it's easy to talk about him. And this is where I believe the church is. Some hesitated. Stop hesitating. Stop hesitating. There's souls out there that are being destroyed. They're hurting. They're crying. They're waiting for you to tell them the truth. Each and every one. Man, I got... You know when you prepare and you have so much stuff and you know that it's more? Everything that the enemy has tried to do to stop the word of God from going forth has been thwarted and destroyed. Everything. Every time the enemy has tried to stop the word of God, it's gone forward anyway. They burned Bibles. They've imprisoned and killed men. The more men and women that are being destroyed, the more that are being destroyed, the stronger the word of God resonates on the earth. Because the more martyrs that there are, the greater the victory that there is in Jesus Christ. Because when men and women are laying down their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, everything starts to change. That's love. No greater love does a man have than what? To lay down his life or lay down her life. You know, the scripture says that some doubted. And maybe if you've been hesitating, it's because you weren't sure of the power of his word. You know, he promised them his presence. He said, I'm going to rise again. I want to meet with you guys. He baptized them in the Holy Spirit, right? He gave them the power. He said, all power and authority is mine on heaven or in heaven and on earth. All authority. When he arose out of the grave, everything was finished. And all he had to do now was commission the men and women to take all the authority that he has and go and do his will. Just go and tell people about him. It had nothing to do with knowing it all. Tell your neighbor, say, good thing. Good thing. It wasn't about knowing it all. It was about possessing it all. See, because you possess all power, all authority, you possess the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I'm going to go before you. And if God goes before us and God is with us and he's for us, then who can be against us? That's what the scripture says, right? As Jesus came out of that tomb, every demon in hell knew they were defeated. And that means every demon in your life has been defeated. Amen? Can we stop giving them any authority? They have been defeated by the power of the love of God. It's all done. Nothing has authority over the believer other than the word of God. Nothing. Some people say, well, I can't stop. Yes, you can. Yes, you can if you don't hesitate. If you stop believing the lie and start believing the truth, you can find your freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. No matter what it is, I can't stop eating jelly beans. Yes, you can. You know, they said if they put all the jelly beans end to end that they sell on Resurrection Sunday, it would go around the world almost 3 times. Yeah, it's a $1.9 billion industry. Selling candy on Resurrection Sunday. See, they knew how to touch each and every human being with a piece of chocolate. You're all a bunch of addicts. You're chocoholics. It's the problem that there is in the body of Christ. $1.9 billion industry. How does that celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? God's desire is that as we walk out our lives, that we're reminded of what was accomplished at Calvary. Right? Remember when in Mark, when Jesus said, hey, go and untie the donkey. Remember that? Right? And he said, if they ask you, why are you doing this? 2 verses later, it says, what are you doing? And I think that's the 2 questions for the body of Christ this morning. If you're here, why are you here? Are you here because this is what you're supposed to do on Christmas? Easter? Resurrection Sunday? Whatever day it is. Peeps, hearts, Valentine's Day, we're going to cover them all today, all right? Wow. Help me, Jesus. So why are you here today? Are you here today just to be with friends? Are you here today just to hear a nice message? Are you here today because your parents told you to? Why are you here? I would say that you're here because of a divine appointment. I would say that you're here because your heart is in the right place. I would say that you're here because God wants to transform what you're about to do for the rest of this week. That's why you're here. I would say that you're here because your whole family is going to be transformed by the power of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you here? Everybody comes from it with a different reason, but I want you to know, I would say according to the word of God, you're here because your heart is searching for something greater than what you've been living. If it's the first time here, you know the world doesn't fulfill anything. Nothing the world has fulfills us completely, only the love of God. There's a place in each one of us that when we accept Him, we receive Him, the love of God starts to transform our lives. Oh yeah, sin feels good for a season, the scripture says, but it doesn't fulfill. So why are you here? And the next question is, what are you doing? And that's for each one of us. What are you doing? What does this afternoon look like? What does tomorrow look like? What is next week? You're working hard. What are you doing it for? You're storing up. What are you storing it up for? What are you doing? And each one of us have to look in our own lives and figure out, are we just those hamsters on a treadmill? Are we on that wheel that's just going round and round, and every day we get up and do the same thing? Or is there something greater God has designed each one of us for? And I believe that if you won't hesitate this morning, that God will pull you off of that wheel. You will have a greater purpose and an understanding when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and walk in the power of his love. Because I believe there's something so incredible that he has for you to do. And each gift is very, very integral to the expression of the love of God on this planet. Each gift is, if the body of Christ won't hesitate. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done hesitating. Right? Some believed, the Bible says, but some hesitated. Some didn't believe. That's not so in this house today. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yes. We believe that God created man and woman. Yes. End of story. Yes. There's nothing in between. We believe that there is no salvation other than through the name of Jesus Christ. Outside of that name, there's no salvation. There's no other name under heaven by which men and women must be saved other than the name of Jesus. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. We believe in those principles that are laid down in the Word of God, and we don't hesitate to speak it in the house and outside the house. And the world is looking for the body of Christ to start walking strong and walking forward and not moving by every wind of foolishness that they're propagating. Right. In the schools, in the government. Look, there's no government on the planet that is going to bail you out. That's right. None. There's one that does, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's one that changes your heart, the hearts of your spouse, your children, and your extended family. Your co-workers, your boss. You know, how many people want their boss's heart to change? Kim, do not raise your hand. How many bosses want the worker's heart to change? Yeah. Oh, nobody laughs at that one. That's real nice. You see, this is something that God's doing, I believe, right now. And he's preparing warriors and soldiers for works of righteousness, where the power and the beauty and the majesty of God is on display wherever we walk. But there's only one way to the Father, and that's through him. That grave is empty. That grave has been swept clean. He is not in the grave. And like my wife said earlier, he's the only one in history. There is no other God. You can go to the tomb of Muhammad, and they all make their pilgrimage there because he's still dead. He is still as powerless as he was when they created him. Our God is as powerful as he was, and he was never created. Amen? He was, and he is to come all through the, because of, according to the word of God, and we get to walk in that power through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, it's a morning not to hesitate. Because now, when you walk in Christ, you get to walk beyond the resurrection. See, those that walked before the resurrection, they didn't get to experience what we get to experience, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us every single day of our lives. The guide, the teacher, the comforter, the love, the one that teaches us all things. We have that every day of our lives. We're living beyond the resurrection. He said, it's finished. Amen? So this morning, let's stand up in the name of Jesus. Because of the resurrection, death has lost its power and its sting, and Jesus lives to bring the glory of God to all who believe. Listen, death is a beautiful thing to those that believe. Really is. The scripture says death is better than life because all the trials and the tribulations and the toils end, and we go to be with the King of glory. He gives you hope in a future after death. The earthly life that we hold so dear is woefully short, and even 100 years is nothing in the scheme of all history. But now we can look forward to life without end. Amen? We get to look forward to that for those that are in Christ. We have a world that's changed a lot since Jesus lived and died and was raised again. We've got a world that's been changed a lot in the last 2 years. You know, more people have died in the last 100 years for Christ than in the 1900 years before. They should call it genocide, is what's going on over in Africa. They're killing Christians by the droves. And you know what these men and women don't do? They don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, it's coming. Persecution's coming. Trials and tribulations are coming. For those that believe on the Lord, he said, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to be your rear guard. I'm going to supply all you have need of. I'm going to walk you all the way into victory, which is called eternity. It's what he said he's going to do. People don't die for a hoax. They don't die for a lie. They die for the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is here right now. His love is here. His mercy is here. His grace is here. You know, Revelations 21, verses 1 through 7, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, for those that are in Christ, get ready. Because you've got something coming that's glorious. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Those who are victorious, those who live and die in faith, that's how we become victorious. It is not how much you do, but it's walking, living, and dying in faith. Amen? And so this morning, if you've been hesitating, or maybe you've been struggling in your faith, we're going to pray. We've already said that if you believe and confess, you shall be saved. We've already stated that he rose from the grave according to the word of God, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And all things now have become possible to them that believe. We know so many times we have preached those that have followed him, whose lives have been changed dramatically. I don't know about you, but I know mine's been changed dramatically ever since I started following him. And he wants to change lives today. Amen? Let's go before him and pray. And church, agree with me this morning and say, Father, I come before you this morning, and I will not hesitate to agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, all my sins are washed away. I agree and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And today, I repent of everything I've ever done. And I thank you that today, you accept me as your child. From this day forward, I'll serve you with all of my heart. I believe that every curse is broken over my life in Jesus' name, and I am free indeed. No more shame, no more guilt, no more condemnation. I truly am free in Jesus' name. And Father, today I agree that every word that was spoken over every life that they've agreed with, Father, as they believed and do not doubt, Lord, that your will being done in their lives is about to change many. Father, I pray that every eye would be open this morning. Lord, no longer looking at the natural things to sustain, no longer desiring the things of this world, but Father, that our eyes would be looking to you, the author and the finisher, that our hearts would be overwhelmed by the leading that you have in our lives through your Spirit, and that your word would become so rich. Lord, that we would open up our hearts and we would grab a hold of your word, and morning, noon, and night, we would meditate on it. The words of life. Father, I thank you that because of your loving kindness, we get to be free. Because of the price that you paid, we get to enjoy a life with no more anxiety, no longer being fearful, but truly being free to do your will. Lord, I thank you that every family represented here shall be set free in the name of Jesus. You said the faithful, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And Lord, as we stand here and we proclaim your word, as we stand here, we pray over every family, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would start to work on the hearts of every single one, those that are far from you. Lord, the most wretched ones, we agree that one touch from you and they're changed forever. Lord, we thank you for drawing our families in, for changing them. And we thank you, Father, for the gifts and the talents and the training and the equipping. Lord, we thank you for the anointing on each one here, the anointing to break yokes and to set the captives free. When we walk out of here, we walk out as your sons and daughters, washed, cleansed, made whole because of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave once and for all, defeated death, hell, and the grave. No longer do we worry about tomorrow, for you have taken care of it all. We give you the glory as the only true and living God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.